So what we did is a group of us got together and recorded campus, but we didn't just record a text description. We included an audio description explaining what was around. So for example, when you go to the bookstore, you know what other things are in the bookstore complex. This will play either on Sendero PC or on the note taker. So I will press Control 1 to get favorites.
Control off.
Oops, if I get...
Control 2. Escape. Select a favorite from the...
And I'll press B for bookstore.
Bookstore North Entrance near Sierra Walk, East University Drive, Los Angeles, 1187.82 V. Behind, west left parent, media right parent, enter, actions dialog.
And I go down to play media.
Destination, please, pedestrian route, show slash edit the view slash play media button.
And I'll press enter.
Enter, event colon read only edit.
As you approach the entrance to the books complex, the Singh College is on your left. Automatic doors are directly ahead of you. As you enter through these doors, the bookstore will be slightly to your left, followed by Freudian slip coffee and an exit with tables and seating which faces Nordoff.
So I'll pause that for now. It goes on at some length, but it's really neat, and it gives someone orientation. There are, you know, a soy pork in there and all kinds of different things, and that, you know, that kind of gives you that information. Now,
can you put that on like your note taker of choice?
Yes,
and so that it will. If say you go to that bookstore, you can do the audio file and know that's where you want to go.
Exactly. In fact, you can have it on the Braille note. You can. I've also played it on the Braille Sense, and Sendero now runs on a number of platforms because you have the Braille note with the Braille and the QWERTY keyboard version. You have the Braille Sense with the Braille key version and the QWERTY keyboard version. You have. Just a number of different platforms that it will run on. So it gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of where you use the content. And with the addition of PC Maps, and by the way, if you have an older version, I don't have the upgrade pricing off the top of my head right now, but if you have the older version of, say you upgrade from an older version of Sendero GPS that you were running on a Braille Note or a Braille Sense, there's an upgrade charge that's less than the cost of purchasing the whole Maps, Sendero PC Maps program as a new program. So you get a break on that. But if you buy the note taker with the, or if you buy the Sendero GPS after March 23rd, that just comes with it. And what you do is basically go to www.gosendero.com, and the first time you go there, there's a download link that you can click on. Just do an insert F7 and arrow down to that link and press enter, and you'll be prompted for the serial number of your device. You type that in, press the tab key, and then you will be prompted for a password. The first time you type the password, it asks you to type it again because that will be your password in the future. You type in the new password again, and then tab to log on and press enter. And at that point, you can go to the download section and download the PC Maps program, which runs on either Windows 7 or Windows Vista or the Windows XP devices. So it's a nice feature that lets you do route creation and look around.
Can you get that by itself?
You can get that by itself, yes. And you might want to check with Sendero on pricing. I think it's in the $400 range, but don't quote. I don't want to give a firm price because it's, but yeah, you can buy that, purchase that by itself.
But I guess my question is, if you're running it on, like, say, PK or whatever, can you put the audio files on your PK and listen to them as you're at that particular bookstore?
Yes, in fact, all the points that were on the computer, I had done all the bookstore reports on a Braille Note Apex, and then I just copied the the favorites file over to the map section on the Sendero program on the computer, and at that point I was able to just use those favorites that I'd recorded on the PC. Now, on the Braille Note. Now, I did fix those up a little bit. I did a when I was out doing the recordings, I had a microphone, an external microphone, and you get a little wind noise and whatnot. So what we did with those is we then scripted them and re-recorded them using the Braille Note, and then saved them the whole thing on both the Braille Note and the computer. So it gives you some pretty nice flexibility for putting nice content together for users. For example, you could record a whole restaurant menu associated with a restaurant and put it on there. And when it's made part of the collective user points of interest, that actually. When it's made part of the collective points, that's converted into MP3 format, so it's a lot smaller than it would be if you left it in WAV file format on your Braille Note. And these same features are available on the Braille Note. It actually, with the microphone, the Sendero maps work a little bit better. But right now, for example, on the Braille Note, I can. It says I'm near La Jolla Village Drive. Now, if I'm on the PC, I can press the letter X and it gives me the nearest intersection. On a Braille Note, I can press dots 456.
267 feet, West Region, Garden Grove, North.
And it gives me the, I can either use X or dot 456 on the Braille Note to get the nearest cross street. So that works very well on either device. And a lot of times people say, why should I get GPS? GPS basically uses the 24 satellites that orbit the Earth in geosynchronous orbit to obtain satellite information. And when you take that satellite data and combine it with a database like a map database that you can run on a notebook or on a PC, you can then have each point on the Earth associated with that map. Any given map location. So, for example, when I'm out walking with my guide dog, I can just look at the streets and walk along and just know where I am. Now, I always tell people when you start with GPS, don't start walking with it right away. You need to practice with it in virtual mode first. That is, without using a satellite connection. After that, you might go into live mode, but walk with an O&M instructor or a sighted guide just to get comfortable with the area. And then it's very important to have very good skills with using a cane or a dog when you start to walk with it. And know also that it's not going to necessarily give you a route that is safe or practical to follow, because all it is a map. You have to use your O&M skills in combination with the GPS to travel safely. For example, I was one time I was demonstrating the GPS to someone, and I said, now here, go to your home location and computer route. So we did that, and she was following the route, and she said, oh, I would never walk that way because that's taking me right along on a frontage road that goes alongside the freeway, and I wouldn't be able to hear any of the cross traffic. I'd probably get killed. And I said, that's using your common sense. What you would do is you would walk down a few blocks so you're away from the freeway noise, then recompute the route, and it's going to give you, every time you change location, it's going to give you a new route based on your new location. So that kind of consideration is very makes the machine a real tool for you. But when I started using GPS, for example, I tried it in virtual mode first. Then I walked around my home area where I knew my streets, the streets and the layout and the traffic signals and all that, and just got comfortable with it. So that when I then started to rely on it in unfamiliar situations, I was comfortable with how it worked. And the other thing I always tell people is you don't want to stop and look at it when you're crossing the street. But anyway, feel free at any time to come by the booth and take a look at it. And if you have, are there any questions at this point? And then I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Bob, as far as the PC maps that route you make from La Jolla to New York, can you also bring up the list of POIs along the way?
It... probably, if you had points of interest, you can press the, you can go forward one point of interest at a time. That's kind of what I was doing. I was just skipping one turn at a time when I pressed the letter I. Oh, and one thing I did forget to mention, you can also explore an area with it. We use I to move forward, J to turn left, or L to turn right. And using that, you can explore your neighborhood and look around and get a feel for it, how things are laid out. And when I was following route turn by turn, when I created the route and was pressing the letter I, each time I did that, it was skipping to the next major turn. For example, you heard one point where it skipped 79 miles, which you wouldn't want to hear every possible waypoint within that 79 miles. But it's a very neat thing. And if you've got the Sendero GPS and you want to get the maps, just give us a call. Phone number is 818-893-5887, or my email address is bob@sweetmansystems.com, and I'll give you tips on how to get that set up and installed and working on your computer.
I search like along that route, like give me a count of how many McDonald's along that route or something like that.
Well, while you're walking on the route at any point. Well, yeah, if say I was on the virtual map by walking forward and I stop in another state, you could do a control F for find and press and pick the restaurant category and do a search just like I would on the regular note taker for any nearby restaurants. And then I could, if I wanted to, I could, like I did with the point in New York, mark that as a favorite, or I could just get the details on it and get its address and phone number, call to make sure they're open. That's the other thing I always tell people to do, is be sure to call the restaurant before, you know, you walk over there, because if it's closed, it's a disappointment. But yes, you have all the features. The only features you don't have is there is no GPS connectivity when you're in virtual mode traveling across the country, but all the other features are active.
Bob?
Yes.
I was wondering, so if I routed myself from point A to point B, and I want to reverse that route, but while I'm on my way, I end up changing my route. Now, when I go back, will it be my return be based on my new changed route or the one I initially started?
If you redo the route, it would actually, the way it works now, it would go back to your original, it would give you a route back to your original location from wherever you ended up.
From wherever I did, okay.
Yeah. That's your reverse route. Now, they recommend that you don't try to reversing freeway routes doesn't work, though, because with a freeway route, it has you going, you know, instead of, it might have you going southbound on the on the 405 northbound lane. So you wouldn't. It's not a good idea. And the one-way designations would get messed up. So if it's a vehicle route, you should just go create a destination to your original point and make a route to that point.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious, when you played when you were able to hear the computer telling you the directions, that sounded very clear. But I'm wondering, when you're walking down the street, you're listening to this device through your own speakers, and how do you listen to that as you're traveling?
Well, I'm a Braille user, so a lot of times I just look at the Braille, but there are also some little drives that you can, in fact, I believe Sendero Group will have some of those here. They're called air drives, and what they are is little earphones that hang on your ears, but they do not cover the ear canal, they just hang there. And you can plug those into your note taker and easily hear everything that's around you, but at the same time, hear the note taker without having to pick the note taker up and hold it up next to your ear, which is, I've seen people do that. You know, when the traffic's real noisy, you can't hear it stand by your hip. But if you use these little air drives, you can hear it quite well. And Louis has some of those and he's used them a lot.
Yep. I'm sorry, are you saying that word is air drive or aerodrive?
Air, A-I-R, it's just an air drive. And those...
You use hearing aids, you can use a neck loop.
Yes.
put it through here.
Yeah, you can use the netbook and plug into your little FM transceiver, and be able to hear it on your hearing aids without a problem.
Anyway, I will let the next speaker take over and do their presentation, because I think we have another person after that who wants to talk. So I will pass this to... Yeah, oh yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Bob. Oops, sorry. Thank you, Bob. Awesome. By the way, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but Sendero is supported also on the PacMate and as well as the cell phone. Windows mobile phones, right?
Yes, I believe on the PacMate they're at version 2009, but I would expect they were also upgraded to 2010 because they have the software developers get to do that. So the Sendero product will run on PacMate as well.
Good. Awesome. Great. Well, thank you, Bob. Now I know what to look forward to when I play. Believe it or not, folks, I have PC Maps 2010. Have I used it? I installed it and have not had a chance to really explore it. I depend primarily on my Sendero software that's on my BrailleSense. And it's and like Bob says, those AirDrive headphones are awesome because you can hear everything around you. And I walk in traveled areas with all the traffic and everything, this earphones or headphones don't get in the way. I can hear everything, including instructions to what am I coming up to and what streets are coming up without a single problem. So that's awesome. Okay, is our next presenter here? Andrea, is Mike here? Oh, good. Okay, good. Are you ready, Mike? Okay. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you taking the time to give us a talk on this Sendero Maps. And also, is Peter here? Where's Peter Contisani? My used car salesman is gone, I tell you. Can somebody go to the bar? Put a cancer stick and send another nail in his pocket. Coffin. Okay. Switching gears for a second here. You folks have heard of a program called Perl. OpenBook. And OpenBook now runs on a camera similar to the iPal. This is a camera that's really specific built that gets rid of the old-fashioned flatbed scanner. So when you snap a picture, in seconds, you have something reading to you. It's a nice approach. I like it. I still hate open book, but that's personal preference. But I like the concept. I like the way that potential that it has and the flexibility that us blind users have now with accessible tools like Perl and others out there. So Andrea Pittenberger had called and asked if I could make some time for her and Access Ingenuity to do a talk and demonstrate this product. And I have to apologize to Andrea because we were playing phone tag and then I was all over the place and couldn't get in contact. Ultimately, we did, so we have the potential to have a good presentation now. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to who's up front here?
Okay, it's Andrea.
Okay, Andrea and Michael Parker. So I'm going to give the microphone to Michael, and then he and Andrea can fight for it. So I'm turning it over to here you go, Michael.
Hi, so my name is Michael Parker from Access Ingenuity, and I'm here with Andrea Pittenberger, and we're going to demonstrate the new Perl scanning camera that goes along with OpenBook. And we also have a handful of Braille handouts on this, so make those available. Unfortunately, we don't have as many as I would have liked, but we'll just pass those around and see where they go. If you do want one, let know and we can get to you. And are many of you familiar with OpenBook already? Yep. Great. Okay. So some good news for you. If you're an Open Book user right now, then to use the camera, it's actually a fairly affordable solution. You do have to upgrade to the latest version of Open Book. The newest version is version 9. It doesn't matter how old your version of Open Book is. You can even have something back from the Arkansas days. It's still $150 to upgrade your copy of Open Book. The Pearl camera, as Bob mentioned, is a special introductory price. It was supposed to end Halloween, and it's now been extended until the end of March. So that's also good news. And the introductory price is half off, so it's $600. So basically, the cost of this, I would say, really portable and fast scanning solution is only around $750. To start with, what I'm going to do is just pass around the carrying case for Open Book, because this is going to give you a feel for what size this system is if you're using it, if you need to carry it around with you. This doesn't have the camera in it, because I'll be demonstrating the camera, but we add another pound and a half, and then you've got it. So sure, we can actually pass one around here, on the other side with the camera in it, and you'll get a feel for that. Here we go. This one actually has the Pearl inside it. So if you want to, as you can see, it's a fairly compact system, and it plugs in via one USB, and it goes onto your computer running Open Book. It's going to be seen as your scanner when you're using Open Book. It does have a light source built into the camera. In most situations, you don't need to use the light source. However, it's a pretty easy control to turn that on. It's just Control L, and that will turn on the light source for you.
Off by default.
That's right. That's right. What we found is that in most cases, you don't have to have the light source on, even in fairly dark environments. However, if it's too dark, it's just going to not work. So, or if there's a strong shadow or something like that. So I would say 9 times out of 10, you don't need the light source on, but occasionally you do. I'm just going to describe this to you a little bit too, so you can kind of get a feel for how it sets up. It sets up, it folds down and fits into the bag that we're passing around now, and it plugs in via one USB port, and then it sets up more or less like a table lamp. So you've got, think of like a table lamp that you have on your desk, and thanks, I'll pick up that bag. And then that table lamp, or the Pearl camera there, has a bar along the edge of it. And that bar is used to align your book. So what you're going to do is push your book up against that bar. In the center of the bar, you're going to feel a raised bump. And that's going to be, if you had a paperback novel or something like that you're going to scan, you would just line that up with the center of that to center your page. If you feel on the right or left side, you've got the edges of the bar, and this area is basically 9 inches by 12 inches. So you can't go outside of that 9 by 12 inch area. If you feel that your book is outside of that, then you know that you're going to need to scan one page at a time and not two pages at a time. In that case, one of the best things to do is actually to just put the, if I want to scan the left page, I'm going to move the page to the far right, to the far right margin, and then scan that page. And then to scan the right page, I'm going to slide it back and scan onto the left margin and scan the right page. This process is really nice because you can actually just slide the book back and forth across the table. And it's really easy to scan multiple pages very rapidly. So what I'm going to do now is give you do some scans here, and I have a book, a Dave Barry book. I don't know if anybody's a Dave Barry fan out there. So here we go. We're just going to do a quick scan.
Acquisition source, please note dialogue, out of dialogue. Camera light enabled.
So it is dark here, and I noticed there's a bit of shadow coming across my page. So I did turn on my camera light. You heard the camera light enabled. I'm just pressing Control L to do that. And now spacebar to scan. So I press the spacebar. You hear the camera flash. And that's a sound effect that you can turn off.
How would you like to make big money while sitting at home in? His offer of eating cake frosting straight from the can whenever you felt like it? If this sounds like the ideal career to you, then you should get it.
Okay, so you can see it basically scanned it and started reading back to you very quickly. How's the speech? Can you guys hear that okay? Okay. I can probably turn that up a bit too if you like.
What kind of a computer is this running on now?
You know, this is running on a, it tells you that I need to update my computer, but this is a probably a 3 or 4 year old Dell Latitude laptop with the Intel Core 2 Duo processor and about 2 gigs of RAM. So it's a, you know, an older computer, but you know, stable and oldie but goodie, that's right. So a couple things you notice is first, it scanned this very fast and started speaking right to us. Now, if we want to scan multiple pages, what I'm going to do is they've changed the layout of the menu in OpenBook. And I'm going to go up to the menu bar.
Edit. Acquire.
So I'm going up to the Acquire menu.
Acquire. Workflow. Submenu.
And I'm going into the workflow submenu. In the workflow submenu, this is where we can tell it how we want to scan different things. And in this submenu, there's a bunch of different options.
Acquire and read checked.
So right now, acquire and read is checked. I also have acquire image only. I was talking to Jonathan Mosen, and he said he got a bunch of signed grievance cards. I think his dog passed away about 6 months back. And so he was using the image only to acquire those and send them to someone else that was reading them to him. So you can use that too. It's just going to save it as like a bitmap or JPEG image. A couple other things in here that they have is a mail sorter preview. It's just going to do a real quick scan of the page and then just do that information right away. I'm going to go into, since I have a book here, I'm going to go into multi-page automatic.
Acquire image, acquire in background, mail sorter preview, multi-page automatic, leaving menus.
Okay, I've done the multi-page automatic. Now I'm going to do start a new scan. And in this case, what's happening is it's sensing the motion of the book. And when it sees that motion, then it's going to go ahead and start a scan. So first thing, just line it up again. I'm on the left side of the page, so I'm lining it up with the right margin on the bar in the back. Pressing space bar to start this process, and then we'll go through about 3 or 4 pages.
We'll call Webster P. Hulk-Ask at IR 2038 Open Wild Lane, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, who was employed and had a wife and 5 hungry children to support, took his last $17.40, which was supposed to be for little Jessica's insulin, and decided to play the market with it, despite having no previous experience. 2 days later, his lifeless body was found crushed under an enormous pile of $1,000 bills that he had failed to stack properly. What a chilling caution. acquisition canceled.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed the A-Berry there. Probably a little bit out of context, but anyway. So as you can see, we just went through the process of looks like scanning five or four pages right there. Really simple process. I'm just sliding the book back and forth. Couple of other features for you that might be some things that are nice to know about. For those of you that benefit from a magnified image, there's a lot of low vision settings built into OpenBook 9, and with Pearl Camera, you even get a live CCTV mode, as well as the ability to magnify the actual image. So the way I'm going to do that is toggle through my views. It's Control-Shift-V.
Exact view.
So I've got an exact view, and then I can even magnify that view if I want to.
Split view.
A split view. Split view is particularly nice for, let's say, someone who's visually impaired that needs to look at a graph or a chart or something like that, or we were just in a school, we were looking at some math equations, and those math equations were really difficult for the scanner to recognize accurately. So it's giving you a magnified visual representation, and so in the table and things like that can be done that way. And then finally, it's got the live view.
Camera view.
And that's called the camera view. The camera view is really, it's not a full CCTV, but it can be used, let's say, in a pinch or for someone that needs limited magnification. It's not going to do nearly the amount of magnification that a full CCTV would do.
Text view.
Okay. Other things that are a little bit different is the way scanning has been done in OpenBook. In the past, you might remember that there was the choice between OmniPage and FineReader, and you could do different blends of different scanning algorithms, basically. They've decided that to simplify that substantially. So now there's basically, I think it's best, fastest, and then most accurate. So basically, those are the three settings that you're going to do. It's not you don't have as many choices anymore. Andrea, anything else to add?
Yeah, just a couple of quick comments. Most of you, or some of you, know me. I won't say most of you. Some of you know me. My name is Andrea Pitzenbarger. I work with Michael. I'm his representative and colleague in Southern California. So I am here to demo, show you things, and demo products, and provide training and support, and all that kind of thing. I really like the Pearl. I have trained people to use the iPal, and I think the Pearl is more stable. It's not going to tip over. It's more weighted. I think the bar at the bottom for lining up your book is really, really nice. And there was something. Oh, I use my Pearl with a netbook. My netbook is an Acer. It's about a year and a half old, running Windows XP. It's a little slower. It does work, but because of the smaller processor, it you will notice a difference in the speed at which the scanning is accomplished. And I noticed that when I demoed it last week for a Department of Rehab counselor. It is a bit slower. But if you have a netbook and one of these things, you've got under 4 pounds, you've got scanning that you can take to the library, you can take it pretty much anywhere. And it doesn't have an external power source. It's just a really neat, and I'm wondering where my Pearl is. I'm gonna keep asking on you. it's right here. Okay, because it's not mine, so I'm responsible. And I want to thank Louie for his patience, and Roger too. We had a little trouble connecting, but we're all busy people, and I really appreciate you guys hanging in there with us.
Okay, I'm just going to add a couple more real quick things here. Some other nice features in OpenBook, just to know about in case that you didn't. If you go into the file menu in OpenBook, you can go in and actually save to audio. You can also save documents to your notes, so that can be another tool for you. Or finally, if you want to go ahead and export the file to a Braille format, you can do that as well. So some other tools for you. And then speaking of netbook computers, another neat tool that recently came out is the Focus 40 Blue, which is a Bluetooth Braille display. Freedom Scientific introduced this, I think, about a year ago. At the time, it was I think, $4,500. And they cut the price in half, so it's now $2,700. And it's a 40-cell really powerful Braille display, Braille input keys with the new JAWS 12 and the new ability to now do a lot more grade 2 Braille input. That's a real nice combination for you too. So if people are interested, we do have that here as well. So thanks again, Louis, for setting this up. Any questions from the audience? I actually scanned for you things that were actually straight text. It does work extremely well in columns as well, and it just automatically recognizes the columns. There's a checkbox that you can tell it by default it will recognize columns. You can turn that off, and that's under your workflow settings. Now, that's a good question. When I was talking to some of the developers at Freedom Scientific, I found out they actually, in the past, you know, they said they were using OmniPage or FindReader, things like that. Well, apparently the engineers started realizing that OmniPage wasn't always best in this situation. There was FindReader, and so they actually, sometimes it wasn't necessarily the case when you thought it was. And so they use a combination of OmniPage and FindReader, and they do it in a blend algorithm to get the best scanning, but that's not a user selection anymore.
So I can't go in and pick an engine.
You can't pick an engine. What you can do is, and I think I misspoke earlier, you can say you want balanced, which is kind of going to be typically a balance of the two. You can pick fastest, or you can pick most accurate.
Okay.
Yeah, and I see a couple of questions in the back.
Yeah, my question is very important. I was told that you can have open books on a computer profile and you can get something like discount that if you buy a Pro, you can get an open book for training your registration.
Yes, that's a good point. So there is a competitive upgrade. So if you happen to have Kurzweil and you want to make the switch to OpenBook, there's a you don't have to pay the full price for OpenBook, which is just under $1,000. I think it's under $500 for the competitive upgrade, and I could tell you more about it after this. In the front here.
Mike, you mentioned. Well, first of all, you call the best. Yeah, but I call it balance.
It's balance. I misspoke.
So the difference between the balance and the most accurate is the
measurement. Balanced is going to be, well, really these are going to be your engineer's terminology for this and trying to make it as quick as possible. The most accurate is going to be actually a little bit slower scan. I heard that at the time that I want to say that a couple months back they were saying that the most accurate was actually solely used FindReader, but in the same breath, one of the developers said, "But we never know, and we're changing that depending on which company comes out with the most accurate scanning solutions." And OmniPage and FindReader always kind of take leapfrogs over each other. So. Exactly. Yeah.
Editing, I mean, it makes a difference.
It can. And from my own experience in using this, I found the balanced works well about 90-95% of the time. And in a few cases, I've needed to look at the most accurate. And another question in the back?
Two questions, actually. First of all, when you were doing the multi-phase scanning, how did you know when to, how did it know when to do the next phase?
Good question. There's two ways that you can do it. When I was doing multi-page automatic, it's just sensing the motion. So it's sensing that I'm turning the page. And if I actually don't turn a page, it won't do anything. If you do, like, wave your hand underneath the camera or something like that, then it will toggle it too. So that's one thing. There's also multi-page prompt for pages, and in multi-page prompt for pages, then you're just gonna turn the page, press spacebar. I found that you can actually be a little bit faster with that because you're not waiting for the system to sense your motion. In the front here.
So if you're trying to do it with, you know, when you're turning the pages without being prompted, is as soon as you hear the computer begin to speak the text, is that when you turn the page?
As soon as you hear the camera flash. So why don't I just do another one again, and you'll hear the camera flash.
Bristol unavailable. Application system menu. Sub-screen menu.
I lost my focus here. One second.
Tools. View. Acquire. Workflow. Sub. View. Text. View. Check. Acquire. Work. Acquire and read. Leaving menus. Cautionary. Acquire. Acquire, acquire and read chat. Leaving menus.
Okay, of course, whenever you do a demonstration, you have something like this or the hiccups.
A built-in break.
Open book 0.0. Please note dial no button.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but always fast way to do it is to resume the program again. I might have done a selection or something that I shouldn't have done. But you, basically, to answer your question, you're going to hear the camera flash.
As soon as you hear that camera flash, that picture's taken and you can turn the page again.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Page capacity.
You know, it's really going to be limited by your computer. I think a really good rule of thumb is to do just a chapter at a time, because that, you know, well, depending on your chapter length, but I think if you get a really big file, you are going to run into some issues. So, and just becomes harder to manage. So, a rule of thumb might be kind of a chapter at a time, or maybe 50 pages at a time, something like that.
Save.
What's that?
Save.
Just. Sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mike, do you do a batch scan? Let's say you want to scan the entire book and then have it process it later?
Yeah, so you can just scan it in the background?
Yeah.
Okay,
good. And also, how does it handle legal size paper?
So 9x12 is going to really be your limit. So if you have legal size, we're looking at what, I want to say 8.5 by 14,
yeah.
Is that right? Now, it probably depends a little bit where the text is. You might try a strategy of folding it in half. That could be a strategy, or I don't know if you have big margins or not. That is a good question. And that's actually something that I know we've actually mentioned that to some of the developers, that in the future, being able to scan full, legal size paper would be nice. I think one of the challenges that was in the technology for the camera and making sure that you have good accuracy, that raising the camera to achieve that was infeasible at this time.
How does it handle spreadsheets? Because I go to other conventions that are like literary or sci-fi, and all of the schedules are on a spreadsheet that's probably front and back of a 11 by 17 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have to fold it, and it should handle a spreadsheet relatively well. You're going to be doing a little bit of table navigation in that situation. It depends quite a bit on how well this was laid out to begin with. So if you have we were just scanning some things that was almost in a table format, and unfortunately they use very stylized text for the headers and stylized text for the, you know, like the column labels, and that really didn't come out well. But the data inside the tables did.
Yeah. Now here comes the test. I got a bag of something here.
Uh-oh.
All right, Mike, let's put it to the test here. Here's a... Let me see what you have.
Okay.
Let's see what this is.
If it's good, are you
going
to
share?
If he doesn't like it, he's going to give it away.
That's right. We'll raffle it off.
Okay, I'm going to do a little quick, my old but good computer did give me an issue here, so I'm just logging off, coming back in.
Undocumented feature.
Yes. So, first, let me just describe the, this is... I don't know what you're eating here. Well, I won't tell you because we'll see if we can't identify it, right?
That's right.
What I should say is that there's black text on a blue background. Now, I don't know who thought of that as a really good contrast combination, but it wasn't me. Exactly.
Open book version 9.0. It reads only mode.
Sarah, how much does that machine cost?
So the Pearl is $600 for the scanner, and it's $995 for OpenBook. So combination would be $1,600. However, if you have a copy of OpenBook, even an old one, or a copy of Kurzweil, there's a competitive upgrade from Kurzweil, or just an upgrade for OpenBook. The upgrade for OpenBook is $150, and the competitive upgrade is just under $500. That's the camera flash, and we'll see what we hear.
Mr. Bullet said 4i4dme to our bullet 13:4 RTI 4 Ike Bullet asking 15,111 hit time file.
Okay, so doesn't look too good there. I'm going to turn my light on too.
Camera light enabled.
See if that makes any difference, and.
Leaving menu.
We'll try one more.
Header 1, Bullet AI. Exact view.
Okay. Yeah, this just did not come through too well. So, unfortunately, that is not a great scan.
It's a hard color combination to try to use.
But it was trail mix.
I like to eat healthy, yes.
So.
Yeah, no, and this is okay. This is not something that I would have thought of. I didn't know what color it was until Mike described it. And I know that this is one hard combination to try and read. Whether you're using iPad, whether you're using this camera, or the one from Europe, it's not going to be an easy thing to read.
It is shiny too. Yeah. I'm not sure that the shiny was that much of an issue, but the color combination, because it needs adequate contrast. Now, if you are trying to scan things like cans or you know, let's say a pack of gum or something like that. So if you're trying to scan some of those things, what you're gonna need to know is that you only can go up 3 inches. So if you're over 3 inches, it won't work. Now, you could, if you know something, gosh, this is over 3 inches, I'm going to actually raise the camera platform up a little bit, then you could accommodate that. So, but that is going to be a limitation. So Louis is not that easy on us. Now he's giving us some very stylized pack of gum. And again, that text may or may not be accessible. But let's see what we can do. I could say that. So it tried to read Wrigley's, but I don't think it quite got it.
You almost did.
Yeah, kind of got close.
Yeah.
All right. So any technology like this, there are some trade-offs, and it is important to know what the limitations are.
How does it handle underlined text?
Underlined text should be fine.
Is there a maximum font size?
I don't know that specifically. I want to say, just from feedback that I've heard, it's somewhere between like 6 and 8 point font. But I don't know that for certain.
So when you scan a page, it'll maintain the page layout?
Minimum. That would be the minimum font. The page layout in OpenBook, what it's doing is it's basically putting the it's basically putting it in a text format, so you're not getting that page layout. Now, because there is an exact view, in the exact view, you can actually see exactly what the page looks like, and in that view, you would potentially get the page layout. Yeah.
Lori, you should restrict your diet to
only
things that can be read by.
Yeah. Tiny cans.
Yeah. Here, there's a question over here on the my right. Sorry.
Someone read eye drops.
Potentially, it's small enough that it could read it. The challenge, again, would just be so many of these manufacturers, just do not make accessible labels. So that's one of the issues. In the front, Ron?
I'll notice I have an iPad, too, so I'll notice the learning mode if you rescan the page over an iPad, people do a good job with that.
Yeah, you can definitely do a rescan, and you're going to go into the acquire menu,
and re-recognize.
I haven't had to play with that too much because I've found it to be pretty darn good. Andrea, do you have any feedback?
No, I think that usually the first time it's pretty good. I haven't used the re-recognize feature. One quick thing I want to mention, just because Michael didn't, is the bug scan has been disabled, and that has to do with the government. That doesn't have anything to do with us. They don't want, my understanding is they want to limit the amounts of devices that can read the newer bills, so they have disabled that feature. I had a lot of trouble with that feature myself with OpenBook. I don't know how other people feel about it, but it was very, very fussy. So, and it may not have been updated. So for right now, it's there, but it says BugScan unavailable. So just know that that's disabled. Oh, one other quick thing, and I only mention this, it seems very obvious, but I'm amazed how many people don't know this. It will not read handwriting. Just so you guys know, I'm amazed when I go out to train people how many people say, well, can I read handwriting? No, you can't. The reason for that is the OCR thing. Handwriting is too variable. It doesn't lend itself. Now, if somebody printed really, really neatly, it might read some of it, but you can't count on that. So it is not handwriting, just so everybody knows.
Very good.
prescription notes after signatures.
You know, I did do the rescan on this page, and this time I'm actually getting nutrition facts and a total. I also got Wrigley's clearly, but I didn't get a lot of the other information. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, in the back.
Yeah, I'm as curious as how large the gauge that you want to scan.
Yeah, so.
Is it going to be vertical wide? Could it read a whole picture, let's say, the newspaper?
Okay, so it can't read a whole newspaper. The max size is 9 by 12.
So you would have to do the second.
You'd have to fold the newspaper in half or something like that, yeah. Only between now and November 2nd.
And it's a Democratic scanner, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, in the front.
Does it still matter whether you put the document upside down or not?
No, it doesn't matter. It corrects for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the back?
Yes. I just want to hear you talking about the pearl.
Right.
My employer got me one, and the one thing people should remember, because it was frustrating, and fortunately I had someone help me figure it out, is that you have to plug the pearl into a USB 2 port.
Yes, you do.
Because it derives the power from the computer, I guess.
Yeah, so it does need USB 2. If most computers now have USB 2, but if yours doesn't, you can buy a some kind of PCMCA card or another card that would allow you to have USB 2 on your computer. Okay, looks like no more questions. Well, thanks again for your time, and we will be. We will be in the exhibit booth the next couple of days if you want to take a closer look.
What are the exhibit hours?
9 to 5 tomorrow and 9 to 4 on Saturday.
Thank you.
And guys, we have iBills. If you want an iBill, if you want to see it, come look at it. It's a really neat device. I bought one at the ACB convention. I won't be without it. They're $99. So, and it reads new bills, it reads Canadian bills, it reads new bills really well. I've seldom had errors. It's tiny. You can put it in your purse, put it in your pocket. It's really nifty.
Cool.
It should read old bills too, but it'll recognize the newer, some of the old bill readers won't read the new bills. So we have those. Come see it. Yes. Not sure. Michael, do you know?
So there was a federal regulation that stopping counterfeiting, basically meaning that no scanner, no like commercial scanner, can, and I think they implemented 3 or 4 years ago, can recognize currency. So the iBill is not a commercial scanner, and it's using some specialized technology to do that. The KNFB reader, for example, is not officially a scanner, so it gets around it that way. So there's different devices that get around it, but it is if you have a 10-year-old scanner, plug it into OpenBook, and OpenBook recognizes it, you can actually scan currency. But if you have a brand new scanner, you won't be able to scan currency. Here you go, Luke.
I got 10 old scanners in my garage, and I sent them to the highest bidder. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Andrew. You guys did a great job. I'm impressed with this device. I like the way it reads the books, the textbooks. It's awesome. It's making me think now. I tell you, making it a little difficult. Hey, did Peter ever show up? Okay, Peter Contazani is a flake. He didn't show. All right. We'll find him at the bar. Okay, the third person that was supposed to have been here is Peter Contesani, who was going to talk about the Blio. And as you can tell, he's not here, and who knows where he could be. I just called his number and didn't get no answer, so don't know if he's out and about or he's on his way here or what. So, I'm not going to say that. Okay, well, let's see. What time is it, Rob?
222.
Room 222. That's good. Okay. Well, folks, you know, it's been interesting. How things go, I've enjoyed doing this kind of work. Yeah, trying to get this organized, presented for the convention. There may be a possibility that I may have to step down and take care of other stuff. I have too many things going on at once, and may not be, maybe, unless they can talk me into staying, you may have somebody else at the next convention chairing the technology committee. So I'm going to I'm going to think hard about this. I like doing what I'm doing. I like getting people the technology and the knowledge to make use of your assistive technology devices. I am a user of assistive technology, and I also learn from this sessions. So we'll see where things go. Depending upon what kind of agreements I can work out, I may not be here next spring. I'll be here as a visitor, of course. The new president is the one that's bugging me to stay. The new potential new president is bugging me to stay. So we'll see. But yes. Actually, Andrea, this is something that is being discussed. Andrea was asking if I was looking for potential new members for the committee, for the technology committee, and this is something that was discussed, that was brought up, and this is something that can be. I can talk to you off and tell you what's going on with that. Yeah, usually the president, but the president would, I would think that the president would use common sense and talk to the person who's chairing the committee to get input from them. Yes, that's right. So, if you want to email me, please, when you send on the subject, put CCB so I know not to erase it. Okay, or no, sometimes what I do is because sometimes I have way too much email and I don't go through it all. I'll be honest with you guys, I don't. It's just, there's just enough time in the day for me to sit there and address every possible email that I get. So what I do is I have created a priority list and I have my Outlook or my Mac, either one, set up to, you know, organize the mail and level up priorities. I do give CDB priority because it's an organization that I tend to believe in and want to be a part of and see that, you know, we have a voice. So if you put CCB on the subject, at the beginning of the subject, it'll go into my folder where I go check first thing when I turn on my computer. And my email address is lherrera@gte.net. GTE is the old Verizon, for those of you that remember that far back. I had this email address when we had boards. So it goes back a ways. And so send me an email, and if I can help you, I will. And Andrea knows that persistence pays off because sometimes I get too busy, and I'm all over the place. So, good. All right. I don't know where Peter is, so unless you guys have, do you have anything to say? Add Roger? Okay. Roger wants to know if you have any comments as to where you would like to see this technology session be headed. In other words, what are some of the things that you would like to see? What are some of the technologies that you would like to see brought before you?
Really?
Yes. I don't see your hand, Liberties. This is something that we've talked about. This is something I would like to see develop. In another endeavor that I'm doing outside of CCB, it's something that I have organized for another group. And having this one, you know, hands-on training sessions make a big difference. Not only for the blind, but for everybody in general. It makes it easy. I agree with you. I think that an organization like this that advocates for the betterment of the visually impaired community should have, and it should be endorsed and backed by the CCB office to have sessions that encourage people to take advantage of what technology offers and have hands-on sessions. I support it, and I will make Roger make it work. There you go. So there's a lot of things. Where do you guys want to see this session go? I mean, for example, you guys hear about cell phones, the iPhone, the Apple computer. By the way, I hope I'm not going to break any rule, but I'm going to tell you guys anyway. iPal is pretty much available for the Mac. So if you're a Mac user and you want to get an OCR scanner, the iPal is now supports Mac. So, and I do use it, and unfortunately I didn't bring my, oh yes I did, I have it with me. So it's in my room. But there's a lot of stuff out there. Technology keeps on changing. Remember, folks, you're the ones that like to come to these meetings. You're the ones that can dictate what is it that you want to have brought before you. Yes. Such as? Oh, okay. You want something that's cross-platform. Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, and it's a good question. I can tell you that as far as Braille support, unlike JAWS 11 and 12 that have limited Braille display support, I've used my Braille Sense with a Mac. I've used the Focus Blue with a Mac. I've used the Braille Note, and I have not tried the Brilliant, so I can't comment on that, but the low vision stuff, I'd be the last one to comment on that because I don't use it. So I can ask my sources on that.
You need to get a low vision
I have two in mind for that kind of work, and you're right. We need to have more. What I'd like to see happen, and this is something that I'm going to discuss with the new president, we have a segment of the population that's also growing, deaf-blind people who are becoming more and more technology savvy, and we need to keep them in the picture. They are part of us. We have partially sighted people with various degrees of vision. So we cannot exclude any of them. And we got to be able to meet the needs of as many people as we can. That doesn't mean that we have the answers for everything. Nobody does. And if anybody claims they do, I'd run away. Because there's no such thing as I know it all. But we can work as a team. And getting input from you folks. And when I say input, you can send it to the CCB office or send it to my email address or send it to, if you can find Roger's email address, send it to Roger. And here's the thing. When we get input, it gives us something to plan for the next convention. Otherwise, it becomes a hassle to try and figure out, okay, what is it that we can bring to these people that's going to be of interest? So don't be shy. If there's something that piques your curiosity and you want to learn about it, let us know and we'll work on it.
So I have a question.
Yes.
About are the mobile devices, are they actually going on beyond the minimum requirement to be considered accessible?
When you're talking about... You're talking about smartphones, or you're talking about... Okay. In the era of smartphones, mobile devices of that nature, you're talking about smartphones, also, let's just add into the mix the Droid, the iPhone. And we have a variety of things. And I am in contact right now with Google, because Google Apps and their marketplace, they claim to have a ton of accessible apps for the Droid, for the Android platform. However, you go to Joe Blow at your convenient cell phone store, they know absolutely zero. You call the providers, you call the manufacturers, they don't know. You call Google, you're lucky if you find somebody that can understand what you're asking them. Yet, everything is there. So, myself and a couple other people have taken it upon ourselves to organize a list of blind accessible apps, and we're going to try and get them. Well, I'm going to be working directly with Google to see if I can get them to put them on a CD so that we can have them available. And as they increase, we can get them so that some of these people can have access to them, because I know about a great number of people who have gotten the Droids, the new X2s and the Droid X, thinking that it is accessible. Now, I'm mentioning the X2 and the Droid X because I'm a Verizon subscriber. However, those of you that are at AT&T, T-Mobile, and the others, all your phones that are Android-based can use the same application, so we're all in the same boat. And for a company that claims to be so proactive giving the disabled accessibility tools, they should have a weird way of publicizing what it is that's out there. So let's hope for the best of that. Now, as far as Microsoft's already announced that Windows Mobile 7 doesn't have much in the way of accessibility. So here's Microsoft telling us what we need or what we are not going to get because they're not going to give it to us. Yet, they tell the government how compliant they are with accessibility. So figure that one out. Yes. Well, he... Well, you know... President Obama just signed the communication, the 21st Century Communications Act. So because of that, and if Microsoft wants to continue to sell to the government, guess what they got to do? Make things accessible. Yes. We don't know what that means. We're probably not going to know until 2012 or so. So I know what you're saying. I feel your frustration because I'm a user. And I just got rid of my Windows mobile phone because I got fed up with Microsoft giving me the runaround. As far as Apple, they're moving forward with the universal access. But here again, you know, at what point are they going to continue to listen to us, or are they going to do their thing and forget what it is that the public needs? I think we have a better chance with Apple than we have with the others.
Do you know anything about Lion?
Lion.
I know that
it's a big cat. Andy, I'm a beta tester. You know that I can't talk about things. It's a big cat. That's all I can tell you guys. Until Apple says that it's clear to say something, all I can tell you that there is something. That's right. It is an upgrade. Yeah. I am. Roger, you're terrible. Okay, any other questions, folks?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Talx is, who uses Talx here other than me? Okay, a good number of the folks here use Talx, and that's Nuance's program, isn't it? Nuance makes that Talx, and you don't have to get it from Verizon, you can get it directly from them. And basically what it does, it's supposed to make your phone, Windows mobile-based phone accessible. Symbian class phone, that is.
Your handset has to be Symbian.
Yeah. Symbian or Windows mobile based phone, and you can get Talx for it. Is it a good system? Well, I can tell you that it works. I used it for a long time with my Q9C phone until it decided not to work anymore. Part of the reason it got ran over, but that's a different story. Yeah, there's, you know, when you're talking about phones, cell phones, the two big guys are Talx or Mobile Speak from Code Factory, is that correct? And they both do a good job. And if you have a BlackBerry, HumanWare offers you, oh my goodness, what is it called?
Horatio.
See, I knew somebody would know it. And I know that if you work for a employer that hands out BlackBerries, you too can get a BlackBerry with Horatio and be able to have access to text messaging and all the other good things that it offers. I have the Haven. It's a great phone. I love my gadgets. I also have an iPhone, but I like the Haven because it's idiot-proof. Even I can use it. Okay? Simple. It's straightforward. It works. And what I like about it more than anything else, I can go to all the menus and sub-menus. I can go edit my contacts list. I can go edit my appointments. I can go set my alarm clocks and everything.
And what is that?
It's called the Samsung Haven. Haven. And it is available through Verizon. Yes. Okay, and your name is?
Say what?
What is your name?
Debbie.
Okay, Debbie. To answer your question, this phone is good for text messaging. I can send, I hear what I'm sending. I can also review what comes in. And it works. The New Haven, yes. And it also has voice recognition. And let's see. Oh, for you sighted folks, it's got a real cool screen magnification that for you partially sighted people that would like to see large fonts, you can change the font size. And I changed the font all the way up to 28 point. And I also changed the foreground and background. You can also change the wallpaper. And all of these menus are spoken.
It's wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that
being
straightforward.
Yes.
So, do you think older people would probably be able to get on this?
Well, you know what? This is interesting. This phone was marketed for the elderly population. It's a simple and easy phone to use with large fonts. You know, when you have grandma and grandpa dropping their glasses and they can't find them, they got to call somebody to help them look for their glasses.
Can you,
oh yeah, they're big buttons. The only thing, there's a drawback, I'll tell you. The multifunction area, okay, you have the center button, which is big. On the top, on the right, on the left, and on the bottom, there are four buttons. And they have a little tiny dot. Those are too small. And some people who, especially some of you folks, neuropathy, if you're diabetic, you might have a slight problem. Here's the thing, though. If you got somebody who's very good and very sharp at applying something like high marks, well, not high marks, but, you know, there's a real cool epoxy. It's more like a gel, and you put it around the dot, and it when it dries up, it's impossible to remove. It makes a real solid dot that you can find easier.
No Bluetooth
and no camera. No, you don't have to, because you can use the number system. Because as you can see, like I'll demonstrate here. This is cool. Let's see here.
Menu. Recent call screen. 1.
See.
Missed call screen. Missed 8. 1. 8. Missed 9. 0. 9. 4. 8.
See, I can go through all these things and I read. Now, if I want to go to
menu.
Let's see.
1. Contact. 2. Recent call. 3. Messaging. 4. Pictures and sounds.
And I can go to
5. Joel. Joel screen. 1. Calendar.
Yeah. For example, this is just a hypothesis. Let's say, for example, that you can go to, okay, like number 2 is recent calls, and you want to go to check your missed calls. You can hit the menu button and hit 2 and then hit 1, and it'll bring you the list of missed calls. You don't have to worry about using the arrows. So it's very functional and very useful. Okay, you have 32 different sounds you can select for your alarm. I picked the most annoying one. Grunge rock.
Oh, I thought it was probably the recent.
No, grunge rock. Yeah, you can set it for medium, low, medium, and high. And it gets loud. So, and what I do is I put it across the room so it forces me to get out of bed so that I don't have to worry about going back to sleep. Yes?
What about the eye?
Okay, I don't own one. I've helped a lot of people use them, set them up and use them. I can tell you, and I wish Peter would have been here because Peter is the biggest. A guy who told me 3 years ago, Apple will never catch up to Microsoft, Apple will never take over. He is Mr. Apple. He's got an iPad with a Bluetooth keyboard and he carries that instead of a laptop. And he does everything with it. But I can tell you that it is very accessible. Very. You know, it's hard to say. It depends about how savvy you are, but how much you're willing to put into it. For example, I have somebody who to this day forgets that he can always hit that little round button at the bottom, the home button, to get to the main menu. He's forever calling his wife to go click on things. Yet I have a friend who only shows a couple of things, and he's using everything, including doing all his email and all the communications via the iPad. So it varies. It depends how people can apply themselves. I can tell you this much, though. If you are an iPod user or you use the iPhone, using an iPad is an extension of it. It's like having an overgrown iPhone. And there's a lot of neat stuff you can do with it. And the good thing about it is, if you receive emails that have attachments created with Microsoft Windows, you can open them, edit them, add your comments, send it back. They never know you did it on an iPad. And it's pretty nice. Yes. There you go. That's a good source. You can go listen to what other people have said. Remember, you can give 10 people the same product and you get 10 different opinions. It's going to be up to you, the user, to determine what's going to work for you. And if you're of the open-minded says we need to look elsewhere, remember that aside from all this, there's always Linux also, an open source operating system that is increasing in use and functionality for the blind. So, any other questions? It's been fun, folks.